Welcome back to another episode of Imitation Chat. I am Rachel.
And I am Bobby. And here we are for episodes 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm. There are high moments, but there's a lot of suffering, so...
I mean, I feel like it matches the vibe today because I am so very grouchy.
Yeah.
I'm in a hole that I can't pull myself out of, apparently. Uh-huh.
I was trying to help Bobby get her life right before we started recording. Couldn't be helped.
Couldn't do it. Could only think of how much I suffer. So
I made the mistake of watching both episodes this morning, so I'm also full of suffering. You just cannot watch two episodes of Imitation in a row.
I told you that. I told you this before. It's impossible.
I know. But I was so confident until I sat down to do it. And then it was like 20 minutes in, and I think I texted you. I was like, I've been watching Imitation for 3 hours.
I don't understand. I don't understand how it like sucks the time out of the and makes it stretch.
Yeah, it feels like it makes time move differently. Like mm-hmm. there is, like you start watching Imitation and you enter some sort of wormhole where you're experiencing time just differently.
Scientists should really be looking at this. Like, they need to be studying this phenomenon because this could be some sort of scientific breakthrough that everyone's just ignoring because nobody's watched Imitation except for us.
Four times? Is this my fourth?
I'm on two. This is two officially for me. You're on so many more than that. But speaking
of, it's my fourth. So tell me what happens in episode 9 so I can relive it.
So we, of course, pick up right where we left off at the end of episode 8, mm-hmm. where Quan-Raka and Maha are breaking up because they're just, it's too hard. It's too mm-hmm. difficult. Mm-hmm. Lots of drama. Do you remember what the drama is? No, I don't. I could go back and re-listen to episodes 7 and 8, but I'm not going to do that. So they have just broken up.
Mm-hmm.
Maha takes it the exact way that you think Maha is going to take it, which is she's going to suffer in silence and try to pretend like she is okay.
She looks crazy during this scene. Like, she's acting bizarre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing about all this is, and I'm a well-known Maha auntie.
Yeah.
I've tried to give her the benefit of the doubt. I've tried to, you know, stand up for her when she deserves to be stood up for, but she's just so difficult for me to like mm-hmm. that I just simply cannot. I can't get over it. I cannot be a girl's girl. I cannot be this girl's girl. I can't.
Right.
But the thing about this relationship is that I just don't care. And it's not just Maha, because I do like Quan-Raka as an actor, as a character. I think mm-hmm. he's very fun.
Mm-hmm. But he has good comedic timing.
He does. And we've talked about that before. He's very good at anything that's supposed to be funny. He just really shines.
Mm-hmm.
But in this relationship with Maha, they haven't given me any reason to root for them. Like, you haven't shown me them having a good time together.
Nope.
You haven't shown me them, like, improving each other's lives or making each other better people.
Mm-hmm.
They hardly seem to like each other.
Suffering. It's suffering for them. It's suffering for me. It's suffering for everyone around them.
Yeah. It's like you're giving me zero reasons for them to be together, which is why these two episodes are particularly painful to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so Maha responds the way you think that she's going to, and she's like, oh, well, that's fine. I was really, you know, I'll just go back to being just a fan, and this wasn't even really a real relationship, which, yeah, true, it's been like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, this is not going to be a sad ending, and fighting, I'll be cheering for you someday, and then she runs away.
I wrote in my notes, what in the world is she talking about? So, like, she just keeps like going on, and there were literal parts of her speech to him that I was like, I genuinely don't know what she's referring to. I have no idea.
I don't know. So Leah gives her a call, and she's mm-hmm. like, hey, where are you? It's late. Are you on your way home?
Mm-hmm.
Maha doesn't give her any sort of a straight answer.
Right.
She goes to the bus stop. And she's sitting at the bus stop waiting for the bus, and the bus pulls up, and it's got an ad with Quan-Raka's face on it, and that makes her just burst into tears. And so she, instead of taking the bus, she just sits at the bus stop and cries.
I have to say, her crying was very, it was too much.
Like, 3 days. It's like, been 3 days.
She didn't, I don't know, like, that just didn't look like anyone who cries. Like, when I cry, I, like, you know, cover my face or, like, put my head down. She just, like, had her face out and was, like, screaming. Yeah. It was really weird. I don't know.
I don't want to be like, you know, because we all mourn in different ways, sure, and whatever. But like, she's crying like a baby crying because you took its toy away.
Yeah, it's really, it's a lot. It's a lot. Anyways, so, okay.
Quan Rock is like, why is she okay? I'm more upset than she is. And it's like, well, more evidence that you didn't actually know her very well, because like, anyone with eyes can see that she's literally about to burst into tears.
Right? She actually did very good at that part, like the smiling and while looking like you were going to cry. Like, that was very well done.
Yeah, she's very good at that because she looks sad all the time anyway. So it's like when she adds an extra layer on top of it, then it starts to make a little bit more sense. Well, whatever. So at Tea Party's dorm, Leah is working on her computer because she's actually doing work and is a great person. I'm a big Leah stan.
Maha comes in.
Yeah, seriously. Maha comes in and she looks really dazed. She's wearing the heavy coat and the scarf, and she's just like, I'm gonna take a shower. And then Leah like points out, like, wait, you can't go in the bathroom with your coat and scarf on. And so Maha like takes them off and just drops them at her feet right where she is, and she wanders dazedly into the bathroom. And I'm like, I'm sorry, are you not going to get like fresh clothes?
That whole scene was wild to me. Like, I was like, what? I'm is like, what happening?
Do I not understand?
Did she not realize that she couldn't like wear her clothes into the shower? Like, what is
at Shax's dorm? Quan Rock brings a bunch of food for all of the other boys and summons everybody, and they're all like, what are you doing? You know, what about your diet? And he's like, I'll start dieting tomorrow. And they all look a little bit taken aback, like, why is he being like this? But then Lee Hyun sits down and starts eating. He's like, well, what are you doing? You told me to eat. Why aren't you eating? And so then everybody sits down and eats, and they have a good time.
Lee Hyun really doing some good work for Shax.
We're in a good Lee Hyun era right now, I think. At the coffee shop the next day, Maha asks why Hyunji looks so thin. Hyunji looks like she's at death's door. Like, she looks really rough. And Maha's like, why? It looks like you only have half of a face. You're so skinny. Have you not been eating because you've been worried about me? I'm so sorry. I worried everybody. Yeah. She tells them that she broke up with Quan Rock. Hyunji gets really mad. She's like, okay, why'd you put us through all of this if you were just going to break up in 3 days? Like, what was the point?
I agree.
And she calls, Maha selfish, which, yeah, she was selfish. Didn't think about anybody except for herself.
My note about Maha here is I actually hate her. Like, I hate her. In this moment, I hate her. Because she's still not being truthful, right? Yeah. She's like, we broke up. No, he broke up with you.
You would have kept going if he hadn't broken up. And so you're not, like, self-sacrificing for the group. You were forced into the self-sacrifice. I think she would have done it eventually if he hadn't, because she, you know.
Do you? I don't.
I do. I do think that, because, and I think she would have done it in like the stupidest way possible. But we were saved from that, at least. Jiok walks in totally clueless, which I put classic Jiok, because he's really letting me down at this part of the drama.
Oh, I wrote, Hyunji, I love you. Tell her what a bitch she is. That's what's in my note.
So I can't find, I'm trying, like, where do I put my notes where I can see them and also be looking into the microphone? So Jiok's like, hey, we got a group schedule for the first time in a long time. And they go outside and Go Bahui is there. And he is apparently going to be their new manager so that Jiok can kind of step back and just be the CEO. And I'm like, Jiok, come on now.
I have watched this show 4 times and I still thought he was going to betray them. Like, that's how little of this show that I have retained it is when it comes in and then I just have to purge it out. So.
And it's the only way to survive. So Go Bahui is back. Leah is beefing with him and she's like, I don't trust you. And it's funny because they have like a fun little sort of beef, which is fun. They are going to a photo shoot with Sparkling, and I'm like, everybody wait.
Yeah.
Since, is this a thing? Because I'm not seen this be a thing. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of questions about this photo shoot. First of all, what is it for?
Yeah.
What is it for?
Tennis, because apparently.
they're wearing like tennis clothes, and it's this desolate, empty set. It's like a little bit of green AstroTurf and a bike, and that's it. And then they're just like standing there in their like little tennis outfits. Mm-hmm. When they're told that they are going to go to the photo shoot with Sparkling, Mom like, looks at Hyunji like she knows something. And I'm like, Ma doesn't know what's going on. Well, I never understood what's going on.
It turns out she does, because we get a flashback later that...
Yeah, but he never says specifically that he never names her name.
That's true.
And I'm like, Maha's an idiot. There's no way she put this together. But anyway, she looks at Hyunji with like a concerned expression on her face. Uh-huh. We go to NOG. Jax is in rehearsal. Kwon-rok is back to pushing them the way that he used to. Park Jin-man is lurking. And that is it. Then we go back to the photo shoot. And I just wrote, so boring. Tea parties in these tennis outfits. Sparkling is watching them. Piano is being like super toxic.
Yeah.
He talks about them, you know, being rolling, something about rolling and how they sort of rolled in from Omega into Tea Party. And mm-hmm.
And then they're going to disband.
Yeah. Se-young calls him out. And he's like, oh, well, maybe you should want to be like them too. So you could roll into a new group. And the stylist is talking to Yujin, and she mm-hmm. points out Tea Party's professionalism. She's like, look at how they're getting along so well, but they would not talk to each other when they got here. She's like, they're real professionals now. Yujin and Hyunji are going to...
Which is a weird conversation for her to have with Yujin, but whatever.
It is. Yeah. It's like, I feel like she understands that I think she knows that Yujin and Hyunji have like a thing that they mm-hmm. can't quite get it together, and she's shipping them. I think that's what we're meant to think. That's a Zyker's boy. Yujin and Hyunji have a couple shoot together, and they tell them to hold hands uh-huh. for the photo. And I'm like, why do y'all want them to get murdered? Like, come on now. Do we not know how the fans are? And it's very awkward. Like, it's so awkward. And
but then they try to tell us that they had the best chemistry out of everyone and that their photo shoot is the best. So this is the problem with the show. I can see with my eyes what is happening, and they don't want me to they don't want me to see with my eyes. They want to tell me what's happening, but I can see it.
Yeah, it's like you should have gotten... I mean, I like Hyunji and Yujin as a couple. I think they're cute.
Yes.
And I think they're going to be cute, but at this moment, no. Hyunji's like, she's clearly awkward around him, mm-hmm. and he's feeling some type of way because he knows that he is an idiot and screwed up, and we'll get there when we get there. Then we bounce back to NOG, and Kwon-rok is sitting on the floor in the practice room. The other boys have gone. Daekwon comes in, and Kwon-rok asks him, he wants a new schedule. He wants mm-hmm. to be busy. He wants something else to do. Daekwon is like, wow, he's acting kind of weird. I wonder why he's acting kind of weird. And I'm like, the way that nobody can seem to figure out that he's upset and the way and that he's probably broken up with Maha is so stupid. Like, how are you people the dumbest people alive?
Yeah.
Then we go back to the photo shoot. Mm-hmm. Classic imitation editing right now. Mm-hmm. We go back to the photo shoot. Maha is... I have to pause here.
Maha's hair in this scene
looks so insane. They have it. When she walks up the stairs into like the dressing area or the green room area.
I didn't recognize her as Maha. I didn't know who that was.
I could feel her Eeyore energy with being so like sad and dejected all the time. But they got her hair pulled back, her extensions pulled back into this limp, low ponytail. But they have curled her bangs.
Yeah.
And she looks insane. Yeah. I was like, she looks really, like, genuinely so terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really.
So she comes walking up the stairs, and she asks Leah where Hyunji is. And then we cut to Hyunji walking through. She's wearing like mm-hmm. this really big pullover situation over her little tennis skirt. And she's mm-hmm. just walking around backstage somewhere. And Yujin stops her.
Mm-hmm.
He like takes her hand. He's like, oh, your hands are still cold. And he like gives her a hand warmer. Mm-hmm. And then he gives her like a hot pack to put in her jacket. He's like, here, use this if you get cold. Like, he's really just like pouring it on her. And mm-hmm. then he's like, listen, I just want to say I'm really sorry. I didn't know how you felt. I was an idiot and whatever. And then he says, oh, we looked everybody said that we looked the best together. And I overheard them talking. And then he asks her out. And he, like, when he says sorry, he's like, well, you know, you'll accept my apology, right? And I'm like, the way mm-hmm. that he's going about this is upsetting to me uh-huh. because he's coming at it from, he's like being super cheerful. He doesn't look contrite at all.
Right.
He's just being like happy and cheerful and like, oh, it's not really a big deal and everything's fine and you'll forgive me, right? And uh-huh. it's like, I mean, she does, obviously, but I don't know. I just didn't like it. I didn't like his attitude. And if somebody came at me all like cheerful and not acting sorry at all, I'd be like, no, I don't forgive you. Get out of my face.
My concern during this whole scene, and I still get this vibe. I didn't, even when we have Maha's dumb flashback that we'll get to, mm-hmm. I was like, does Yujin only like her because she likes him?
Yeah, because he realized, oh, she likes me. I feel like he does actually like her. I think that he says that he was blinded because he was so focused on Maha that he couldn't see anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And since they have actually had like interactions together mm-hmm. and it's established that they have some sort of friendship.
Yeah.
I believe that he would really like her. I mean, obviously, she's sweet and precious. I don't know why right. he wouldn't.
I believe that he would like her because, like, mm-hmm. that's the obvious choice for him. But it felt mm-hmm. like his speech, the way he came at it, the flashback mm-hmm. with Maha, it all gave me this, like, gross feeling that he was, like, one of those people who, oh, well, they showed interest in me, so I'll like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like that.
Yeah, but I feel like I do that in K-dramas all the time. uh-huh. You know? Like, I feel like that's just sort of, like, this is expected to be normal. It doesn't make it okay. But, like, I don't know. I think that he could really like her and that he just wouldn't, like, didn't realize that he liked her because he was so focused on Maha. I think that's what they're trying to get me to think. And I'm just, for the sake of my brain, I'm just going to be like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll believe you this mm-hmm. one time. At Larima's company, which is called Queen Entertainment,
mm-hmm.
Larima's like, I don't want to do an album because everything is so boring. Mm-hmm. Everything you give me sounds the same.
Mm-hmm. And I put,
she needs an Edenarain. Like, and her CEO was like, no, you've got to strike while the iron is hot. You know, your fame is fleeting. We got to do something while you're still big. You're not going to be big forever. And her CEO is such a ugh. Then she finally agrees. She sort of like tricks him into letting her do an album as long as she is allowed to pick every song. So she gets full creative control. And she says, I'm only going to go on the best shows. At Energy, the secretary comes in and they're talking about how they have acquired Musicolic and SJ Entertainment. I don't think we know what SJ Entertainment is, but Musicolic famously is where Sparkling is from. But they've been bought up, gobbled up by Energy. They say that Queen Entertainment is holding out more difficult because Larima is such a hot commodity, so they're going to cost more money to acquire. And the CEO kind of berates his secretary for not being able to get Queen Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
He's very like dismissive of his secretary, and they're really trying to point that out because that is now going to become important that he treats his secretary badly. Back to the photo shoot, which is still happening. Leah is posing with San and Sanghwa, and I was like, mm-hmm. of course they would put Maha with the loser Hyuno, who nobody likes, because she is also a loser. Maha talks to Hyunji. She tells her, this is where we get her talking about the flashback where Yujin confessed to her and then immediately he's like, but I don't like you anymore. And how he is apparently into somebody else, even though he doesn't name their name. And Hyunji's like, oh, well, okay. She tells Hyunji she's sorry and that she will be more focused. She's She's lying.
Maha calls, I want to find my note about it. Maha mm-hmm. calls Yujin a goblin. And I think that's a good insult. that's all I had for that. And I felt like it needed to be acknowledged.
All right. At the TV show, we're to the company where Maha and Hyuk and Dojin are shooting their sitcom, happening.
Yeah. Here's Jungho's hair and Dojin's hair. They have been the same for 3 years. They want me to believe that these idols have had the same hair for 3 years. And we keep flashing, like, different hair would actually help because we keep flashing back. And I don't know where we are because everyone looks the exact same. There is nothing to, like, delineate this happened in the past, mm-hmm. and this is happening now.
It is pretty clear to me. Like, you can kind of get a little bit of a real-life timeline, because there are scenes in the beginning of the drama where Jong-ho's got a lot of dark roots.
Uh-huh.
But at this part of the drama, he is the brightest, cherriest red you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Like, it's fully, full immersion of cherry redness.
That's a recording schedule, though. That's not like a, like, I don't think that tells us where we are
in the
episode.
Doesn't help us with the drama. I'm just saying, from my perspective, who is interested in, like, okay, when were they filming this part at, like, what time were they doing this in, a, you know, in accordance with what I know of, with, like, uh-huh. Kingdom and fireworks and all that. That's just helpful for my brain. But I've been noticing, mm-hmm. like, when they, because they had a flashback to the beginning of the mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. Later on, they'll have a flashback mm-hmm. to the beginning, and you can see Jong-ho's got his roots. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, so that was filmed later than mm-hmm. these scenes mm-hmm. in the middle,
mm-hmm.
which you had said that they filmed it out of order, which is probably why Maha is confused all the time.
Right. I think a lot of times they are acting incorrectly because they don't know what has happened in this drama.
Mm.
That's my generous reading of it, because, like, their responses are confusing. like they'll say something and you're like, why are they reacting like that? Because, mm-hmm. like, based on where we are and where their characters should be, they should be having a different reaction.
Right. Except that it's only with Maha, though, I would say. It only happens with Maha. Which makes me wonder, I do wonder if maybe they originally had a different actress or something, and then they had to, like, scramble to get Maha in there and had to do, like, reshoots or something. I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but it makes me wonder. Okay. Oh, at the TV show the next day, Hyuk and Dojin and Maha are walking out through the lobby. Interestingly, none of them is accompanied by an adult. Like, where are your managers? Where is everybody?
Yeah.
And so Dojin talks about, oh, we're going to go to lunch, because they meet up with Daekwon and Kwon-rok mm-hmm. coming in. And for some reason, Dojin calls Kwon-rok, hey, B. What does that mean? Is this short for something? Is it like slang? I don't understand. But it just, I was like, okay. So Dojin invites, like, everybody to lunch. Kwon-rok refuses. Maha leaves. Larima, I gotta tell you, I love Larima so much in these episodes, because she's just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
She is omnipresent.
Really turns it around. She is.
Yeah. We would be dead without Larima. But uh-huh. she is observing this interaction and obviously, like, okay, she figures it out. Kwon-rok goes and meets with the director. The director says something about PPL being a problem, and I don't know what that means. So I'm just going to ignore it. He meets up with Larima. They go, like, downstairs, and he meets up with Larima, and then Maha arrives, and she's like, oh, I called her. And then Kwon-rok leaves, and then Larima kind of mocks Maha for the situation, like, lightly, mm-hmm. the way that Larima does, because she's smarter than everybody else. And so she's just kind of like, okay, what's going on? And then...
Well, Larima has the same thing. Like, she says the same thing to Maha and Rook. And it's the same thing that Hyunji said in different words. But, like, y'all did all of that for this?
Yeah.
Like, how dare you?
You wasted everybody's time.
Mm-hmm. For this, like, if you were gonna do that, you should have been sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
you big stupid babies. Yeah. Just
so we go through all that, then we go to the energy gym, and Kwon-rok is punching out his feelings on a punching bag. Then we go to a place called In-chick's Chicken, which mm-hmm. is where Yoo-jun and mm-hmm. Hyunji are having their date, and he has bought her the most chicken possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like plates and plates piled up with chicken, and he's like, and you've got to eat all of it. And so they have this really awkward date. They don't really talk at all. They're just sitting there happily eating chicken. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So then at the coffee shop.
I think I'm supposed to believe that that's cute, and I don't.
I don't. It's awkward to me, but whatever. So we go to the coffee shop, and the reporter lady is back, and she is talking to Jiok, and she's talking about how, oh, you know, the charges have been dropped from the lawsuit when...
Yeah, like
the old CEO. Yeah, that's all worked out. It hardly matters. It's not important. She's talking about Eunjo again, and she's saying, I just don't think that Eunjo can forget. Like, she's saying, it's not that he is a celebrity that doesn't deserve to be forgotten, but that he can't forget what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the bridge, the famous mm-hmm. bridge from the beginning. Eunjo is at the bridge. He is remembering the concert. So here's mm-hmm. where we get the flashback to the concert at the beginning of the mm-hmm. show, the walk-in scene where we get to see Hyuk again. And that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the wildest thing to me. he's up on the catwalk. He's getting strapped into the little safety gear and everything so he can be lowered down to the stage.
Not a lot of safety gear on this boy.
No, but he's got his phone mm-hmm. in his pocket.
Mm-hmm. I assume that Jung-ho also always goes on stage with his cell phone in his pocket, just right there, ready to pull out on stage.
He's got his phone in his pocket, so he's on stage. He pulls out his phone, and he accepts a phone call from Annie.
I don't even think it's a phone call. I think it's a voicemail.
Is it a voicemail?
I think so, which is even crazier. He's like, oh, I got a voicemail. Let me.
I got to check my voicemail. Anyway, it's Annie saying goodbye, and that's mm-hmm. it. And he freaks out and he's like, oh no, the end has come. I gotta go. So he unstraps himself and runs away. And this, of course, leads to what we saw at the beginning mm-hmm. where Jiok goes and grabs Kwon Rok and pulls him up into the rafters.
This is where I put the note, what even is this timeline? What is it?
I don't know.
What is a timeline?
Imitation doesn't know what that is. So at the coffee shop, Jiok tells the reporter that Eunjo and Annie had dated since their trainee days. Eunjo had debuted and rose to the top with Shax and had a really great career. Annie was mm-hmm. stuck at Omega and couldn't even debut. Annie didn't even want to be an idol. So it's like, why didn't she choose literally any other pathway? Yeah. I don't understand. There is a picture. The reporter produces a picture of Annie with a man standing outside the hotel. And I'm like, listen, I understand that I'm supposed to look at the back of this man's head and I'm not supposed to recognize him, but that's Park Jin Man. We all know that this is Park Jin Man. It's his face. It's his glasses. It's his posture. It's Park Jin Man. Like, why are we acting like this is a big mystery that we can't figure out?
I know. And that Jihawk, like, looks at this and is like, I wonder who could that be?
So okay. Jiok confronts her. This is all in flashback. So Jiok confronts Annie. And then there's another scene of him convincing Eunjo to break up with her. And he feels really guilty about that. And so the reporter's like, oh, so you made Tea Party to atone for your sins. And he's like, I don't know. And it's like, you obviously did, Jiok. Come on. So at the newsroom, the reporter goes back in and she's like pondering all of this. And then we realize that she is an actual fan because she's got she has a shrine to Shax at her desk.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, she is a real fan. She's not just pretending. At the coffee shop, Jiok has another flashback to Eunjo. And when Eunjo had come to visit him and Eunjo talks about, oh, thank you for coming to see me in the U.S. and you told me that I should do what I want, but I think you should do what you really want because I don't think that this is it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. At the coffee shop again later. So that was a lot of flashbackery, but now we're in real time at the coffee shop.
A flashback to 3 years and then flashback to a week before the 3 years and then a flashback to 2 weeks ago. And I just what is a timeline? I hate it. Video editing is my passion. It is so bad.
At the coffee shop for real later, Hyunji is texting Yujin. They're being really cute. And he's like, oh, I haven't left the dorms yet. And, you know, have a great day and whatever. Maha and Leah come in and they're both happy. Or they see that Hyunji is happy. And so they're like, yay, everything's great. Jiok comes in and he's like, okay, so I've got news. Do you want the good news? And then they interrupt him like, what's the bad news? And he's like, there is no bad news. First of all, he tells them that the lawsuit has been dropped. And they're like, yay. And then he tells them, and you also got paid for the first time, for real. Like, not just your normal paycheck. You got paid for, doing your work and whatever. And so they check their accounts. They're like, oh, wow, this is so exciting. We got so much money. So then we go to the Tea Party dorm and they're throwing a big party and who cares? I put that they sit down and they're eating snacks and Hyunji picks up a saltine. It's a saltine cracker, folks. And she looks at it and she gets her eyes light up and she's like, yes. And she eats the saltine. And I was like,
if we're going to have this big of an eating disorder problem, we're going to need to spend some more time dealing with it.
Yeah, we're going to have to unpack it a little bit and not just be like, yay, she gets to eat a saltine now. What is happening? So they sit down and they're discussing. They're like, okay, what should we do with our money? So then we go to the coffee shop the next day and Tea Party has... They've called Jihawk to a meeting and they're sitting at a table in the coffee shop and they're like, we want to invest in JH Entertainment. Mm-hmm. We don't want to just, be employees. We want to be part of the vision and whatever. And I'm like, okay, I like this. So they're like, we want to give money back to into the company. And I'm like,
That it's JH Entertainment, which sounds like KQ Entertainment. I just like that.
Okay. So they're like all fired up and ready to go. And they're like, we're going to get back to work and we're really going to make this group a success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that Maha's not like obsessed with Quan Ra. So then we get like a montage where we're in the practice room and Maha is uploading a dance video to the internet.
Mm.
We have Leah is in the studio and she uploads a song cover to the mm-hmm. internet. Hyunji is getting fitted for what I can only assume are like mother of the bride dresses.
I thought it was perhaps a wedding dress and like it was just like a really old fashioned ugly one, but maybe not.
I like the stylist, but she's bad at her job. Like, what are these clothes that she keeps putting Hyunji in? But Hyunji's getting fitted in this dress. Gobahui and Jiok are handing out CDs at like an office.
This I assume there really must be like a weird because at this point, hasn't Tea Party been debuted for like a long time? And they have tons been. Of news articles written about them. It seems like everyone knows about them. They're supposed to be like the hot thing.
Right.
They're called the hot thing several times, but now we're mm-hmm. acting like no one's ever heard of them.
Yeah, it's very confusing. So they're going around and they're giving like energy drinks to people and like, you know, juice pouches and CDs and mm-hmm. like a cover photo. So they're going around handing those out. Gobahui uploads an Omega 3 dance practice.
Mm-hmm.
And this Omega 3 dance practice, for reasons that I don't understand, goes viral. Mm-hmm. Like everybody knows about this. So it's becoming like a really big thing. Tea Party goes live and they're like showing. So they're on like, you know, V Live, I assume. Mm-hmm. And they're showing their fans their practice room and everybody's like super excited about it.
The comments are coming so fast.
Yeah. And it's like, okay. At Ammonite's studio, Leah is working on her producing. So she wanted to write a song. She's trying to get it to sound good. Lee Hyun comes in and
I don't like this part. Let's get rid of Lee Hyun in this part. I like him in the rest of the show, but I do not like this.
Well, Lee Hyun comes in and Leah's like, I told you I don't want to talk to Shax. And he's like, listen, I'm not here representing Shax. I just want to work with you. I just mm-hmm. want to, you know, I'm interested in you as a performer. I just want to.
I like work your voice.
Yeah, I like your voice. And he's like, and then this is the part, it kind of irks me, but he does make the song better. But he goes through, she's like, oh, the song is missing something. He's like, it's not that it's missing something. You're being greedy. And he like silences like three or four different instruments that she'd added. And it really does make it sound better. He's like, stick with this and add your voice to it.
It does make it sound better, but I still don't like it. That was her art. He shouldn't have touched it without her permission.
Well, he doesn't delete it. He just silences. So like she could very easily add it back in if that's what she wants to do, but it's still like, okay, you could have asked first. You could have said, hey, I've got an idea, can I see it,
let me see it. Like you didn't even have to ask. If he just was like, oh, here, let me see something, like I would have been mm-hmm. like, okay, he's it's a little bit,
but he doesn't do any like permanent change to it. He just silences the things. I'm like, okay, that's fine. He didn't really change it. He just like, you know, it's fine. So Larima appears and I'm telling you, she's just everywhere. She's just everywhere in these episodes. It's like there's nowhere where we go and she doesn't show up mm-hmm. and make everything better.
Yeah. Makes everything better. She's mm-hmm. a delight.
Yeah. So she shows up and kind of teases them because she's like, I've knocked so many times. Are y'all flirting or are you working? What are you doing? She's like, are you flirting or dating? What is this? And they're like, no, we're just working. And she's like, I knocked so many times. And she literally didn't. But then she hears the song that Lee Hyun has fixed. And she's like, oh, I like this. What is this? Then we go back to the coffee shop. Tea Party is watching their Omega 3 dance and they're reading all the comments and every comment is just like glowing with praise and like, oh, it's so great. There's so much energy. They're so good. Leah and Gobahui, it's not, but we're just going to move past it. Leah and Gobahui are like ops now. They're just like, you know, squared up against each other, teasing each other because she's still mad at him for abandoning Maha on the top of a mountain.
I really like when she says that she's petty. I'm like, yeah, you should be petty.
She should be. Maha is going to a schedule. So then we go to a dressing room. Quan Rock is also watching the Omega 3 and he says, oh, this is suffocating. I'm like, dude, you brought this on yourself.
Yeah.
He has a flashback to something. I just put he has a flashback. It doesn't matter what it is. He has a lot of flashbacks and they're all of Maha at different points in their little short relationship and not a single one of them matters. He somehow wanders into that furniture warehouse that they were in when they got caught out with a photo. And he overhears Hyeon-woo with his ex-girlfriend, and the girlfriend is being very needy and desperate, and she's like, please, I'll do anything, just get back together with me. And Hyeon-woo's like, I don't care, get out of here, leave me alone. This makes Kwon-rok remember Ma-ha. And we get one of the, I don't know. I was just like, I don't know, whatever. And then we get like the curling of the fist scene.
You know
that
how
you
many
get.
Curling fists I watched in the last two episodes? I should have kept a count. Like, we should have made that into a drinking game, because there
we would be so many.
Mm-hmm.
Kwon-rok confronts him and punches him in the face. Then we go to a literal toilet that Daequon is on. He's on the toilet in the men's room. He hears two men walk in and talking about this fight that has gone down with Kwon-rok and Hyeon-woo. And he like pokes his head out of the stall and he's like, what? And the fan club hears people talking about this. There are all these rumors going around. It's getting really blown out of proportion that they were in like a threesome and they were fighting over the same girl. Probably love triangle, not a threesome, but they were in a love triangle and they were fighting over this girl. And then Kwon-rok is a womanizer and he punches Hyeon-woo because the girl left him or whatever. And so the fan club hears this and they're like, we've got to make sure we find out the truth. We're going to protect Kwon-rok no matter what. There are these two makeup artists for the sitcom that Hyuk and Do-jin and Ma-ha are in. These two makeup artists are talking about the story and Ma-ha overhears them, but also Hyuk and Do-jin overhear them. And Hyuk walks up and he's like, what are you talking about? And they both like, oh, no, we don't even know. We don't know anything about it. And then they scurry away and he's like, I don't think so. Ma-ha runs off. She like drops her script and runs away. Is it important? Hard to say. So then we're out in the parking lot and Daequon, I love this part with Daequon because he's like, you know how it is at this TV station. He said, somebody will throw one punch and people will say that they put him in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Somebody will fall down and people will say that they've died. He's like, you know how things get exaggerated here. He like shoves Kwon-rok into the fan and shuts the door and gets a call from the CEO. And then Van door opens and it's Larima, of course.
Just everywhere.
And so she tells him, she's like, she does the same spiel. Like, okay, why did you get together just to break up immediately after? And then she calls him a coward and she just goes off. Like, she's just, you know, pulling it all together. At Energy, Park Jin-man basically quells the rumor. He's on the phone with some sort of entertainment person. Mm-hmm. But in exchange, he now needs to send Kwon-rok and two other members of Shaq to the show called YMSA, You and Me Singing Again is what it is.
I could not figure out what the deal was with this show, which I guess we'll get to when we get to the next episode.
He yells at Daequon. Daequon runs out and he says to himself, why can't I control you? Every day you look more and more like him. At Shax's dorm, Hyuk and Do-jin agree like immediately to go to the show that apparently nobody else wants to go to, but they're
and
like,
it's
we'll
weird
go.
Because it seems like this show is like a big deal. It seems like this show is both trying to be like the one show Immortal Songs and Masked Singer, like that's the two shows
like level of popularity.
Yeah. So it seemed like, because like when Tea Party found out they were going to get to be on it, they were all like, oh,
yeah, they
so
were very
sparkling.
Excited.
So
at the TV station, all of the producers they find out that Shax and Larima are coming and they're so excited. So they're like, okay, so we can get a bunch of noobs for all the other slots because we've got like our big names. And one of them was like, oh, we need to get Eugene from Tea Party. We need to get Eugene from Sparkling. He's like a big deal. And then I'm like, nothing you have shown me tells me that he is, but okay. And then the other, and then they name these two. They're like, oh, should we get Honey Velvet and Pink? It's supposed to be Red Velvet and Black Pink, but they're like, no. Let's not get them. Let's get this other rando group called Tea Party. At the Sparkling Dorm, they're manager, whose name I have forgotten, is saying, okay, well, Eugene's gonna go, but we need to get one more. And Hyeon-woo's like, what about me? And he's like, no, you're on hiatus because you got in a fight with another idol, so get out of here.
Sit down.
Se-young is like, Min-soo should go. And they make like a big deal out of Se-young being like, hey, no, you should take Min-soo, this is important, this is your shot. And Min-soo's like, thank you, Hyung. And
yeah, it's really
like this
weird
like moment. And I'm gonna circle back to that, so everybody would have been in that. At the Shack Storm, Daquan is talking about, oh yeah, the cast list has been posted. And then we go immediately to the coffee shop. And it's like, what was the point of any of that? Mm-hmm. We go to the coffee shop and we find out that Hyunji is going to get to go and do a commercial. And both Leah and Maha are going to go onto the YMSA show. Mm-hmm. At the show, Larima and Kwan, we've got like our final four, which is Larima, Kwanrock, Maha, and Yujin. And it's like, who are they going to pick to be their partner? Because apparently the premise of the show that I'm kind of putting together, which I feel would be really fun in real life if they did it correctly, but this part feels really boring where everybody's trying to pick their partner.
Yeah.
Is that you get a bunch of idols and then the idols pick partners, like people volunteer to work with them, and then you like choose who you want to work with.
Yeah.
And then you have to produce a duet and perform it, and then it gets judged like Immortal Songs. And that's the vibe that I'm getting.
Yeah.
So there, it's sort of like a dun 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 moment. Who is Kwanrock going to pick? And it's nobody cares. So then we get the epilogue, and Park Jin-man's secretary gets a call from some other CEO, and he doesn't know where Park Jin-man is. And so the other CEO is like, man, you're such garbage. You're not worth, you know, why? How do you not know where your CEO is? What are y'all even doing? And then the secretary, who does he have a name? I don't know. He just like, who do you think does? He's like, gets off the phone and he's like, who do you think does all the work? I'm so tired of this. I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And gets a look on his face.
And then that's the end of the epilogue. Thriller music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is...
So that is the end of episode 9.
I messaged you and I was like, do the people in this show know what like the genre of this show is? It feels like everyone's acting in a different genre, but I think it's the writers and the video mm-hmm. editors. Like mm-hmm. I think that's the real problem. Like I'm not sure the writers knew what show they were writing. Like they didn't, like they wanted it to be a thriller, but there's not enough thriller elements, and then they also wanted it to be a comedy
mm-hmm.
and a romance, but they didn't hit any of them.
Nobody had a clear vision for what this show was supposed to be doing. It's like it feels like they were trying to say something real.
Yeah.
But they didn't know how to do it. And mm-hmm. so they were just like cobbling together a bunch of different elements. And they're like, here, let's just see if this works. And it didn't. None of it worked. Yeah. So do you want to pick your mid episode MVP and biggest loser at this point? Or do we just jump right into episode 10?
Okay. Well, I know who I want to be the MVP for episode 10.
I already have my MVP. Which I'm ready to go.
Well, because I know who I want it to be for episode 10, I'm going to pick my mid based on that, which is mm-hmm. It will be Larima.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's great.
Mm-hmm.
At some point during the watching of this show, she was the only person that I was enjoying watching. So
yeah, this is the point. This is the point during the show. It's like, she's fun. What's going on with everybody else? Yeah, Larima for sure. I feel like my biggest losers are always the same people. It's always Maha. It's uh-huh. usually Yujin. Uh-huh. It's Park Jin-man, also really struggling. Jiok, get it together, my guy. What are you doing? Like, you just seem to be floating off, separated from everybody else, not really being fully aware of what's going on. And I don't know why that's what's happening.
And it's weird because the character that they have set up, who's like really upset about this thing that happened in the past and how wrong it went. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you know that, like, you're kind of like, not being aware of whole situations caused someone to commit suicide, but if you feel like that, which is how they've mm-hmm. set this character up, it's weird that he wouldn't be more involved with their emotional stability.
Yeah, like he would be more concerned when they're like upset with each other, or if Maha's yeah. being completely checked out for several days in a row.
Yeah,
like why aren't you a little more tuned into what's going on?
It's weird with the history that the show has set up. I could believe mm-hmm. that from a CEO, but like mm-hmm. the history that they have set up, it's weird.
Yeah.
My biggest loser is... No, I had it. Oh, it's the guy from Sparkling who's mean.
Kyano?
Yeah, Kyano.
Mm-hmm.
Though I feel for him when his ex-girlfriend is like trying to get him back. Like that is... Like he said he wanted to break up. Like if someone wants to break up, like you...
We're done. You're done. Why are you confronting me in a furniture warehouse about this? We're done.
Like, I actually feel like his response to her seeking him out and then, like, crying in his face, like, I actually feel like that was pretty warranted. Because, mm-hmm. like, he mm-hmm. broke up with her, so you let it go.
Right.
He, just in general, he was gross.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like him. He's a terrible person, but we do get a little bit more of his backstory coming up. So I'm like, okay, I can kind of see where you're coming from, but you've also handled it really poorly. So
really bad.
It's also kind of on you.
Take me into episode 10. Take away my suffering.
Episode 10. All right. So we are back at the show, singing show. We're going through this everlasting process of people choosing partners that looks really awkward and like terrible television. So yeah,
it's really weird. Well, they have a part. This is the part where I was like, what is this show? Because Quan Rock's like standing up there and they're like, oh, no one chose you, Quan Rock.
And it's like, yeah, it's like he gets up and it's like people are supposed to volunteer to get picked by him is what I'm guessing. And there are a couple girls sitting in the row in front of Larima and Maha. And when they're like, who wants to work with Quan Rock? They kind of start to get up and Larima's like, shh, sit down. What are you doing? Don't you dare. So it's like she's trying to orchestrate for Maha and Quan Rock to be on the same team together, which I'm like, why would we do that? But whatever. So finally we get down to the final four. It's Yujin, Maha, Larima, and Quan Rock. Like your four most popular people on the show or have somehow not been chosen by anybody else. Out of all these like randos.
There's a lot of things like about this that bother me. Like it seems like people from the same group are not allowed to work together, yet somehow Dojin and
well, we talk because I had that same thought, but they talk about it in the next scene where Hyuk is mad at Dojin. He's like, why did you stand up? It could have been with somebody else. And Dojin was like, I thought you wanted me to get up and come down there. And it's like, okay, I guess Shucks gets to do whatever they want, I guess. But you know.
But it's weird. Like, why wouldn't Minsu have gone for Yujin?
I guess Minsu didn't work. Minsu worked with that. He's with that blonde girl that looks a little bit like Rosé. But I'm like, I have beef with this. And I'm going to come back to that. Everybody, I put your pin. That pin that we put in the Minsu situation earlier, I want you to keep it there because we're coming back to it. Finally, they get their partners. Maha chooses Yujin. While they're like asking Quan Rock to choose between Larima and Maha. Which I'm like, why can't Quan Rock choose Yujin? Because Shaq's, I mean, the Hyuk and Dojin are together. So it's not like you've got to have a mixed couple. Like, I don't know. So they're trying to get him to choose between the two girls. And then Maha jumps up and she's like, I want Yujin. Settling the issue.
Why didn't she come up for Yujin earlier? Like, this is, I just don't understand. This is the
part that.
I don't know.
Whatever. Move on. So we have Maha and Yujin together. Larima and Quan Rock. We have Hyuk and Dojin. We have Minsu is with some rando that we don't know. And then Leah is also with a rando. At the Shack Storm, Hyuk is complaining to Dojin. He's like, why did you pick me? And then Hyuk is asking Quan Rock, he's like, hey, why didn't you pick Maha? And Quan Rock's like, we broke up. And so everybody reacts predictably.
As if
like,
that wasn't obvious.
I know. Get it together, y'all. At Tea Party's practice room, Maha and Yujin are sitting on the floor and they're getting ready to start like figuring out what their song is going to be. Everybody gets like a category, but I'm not going to talk about it because it's boring and I don't want to get into it. So they're going to pick out their song. Hyunji is bringing them coffee and it's
very cute.
She's very cute. She's so excited. She's like, here, you need coffee to work. Do you need anything else? Are we good? And it's like, Maha is fully spaced out. Like, totally not with us, not paying attention. And I'm so frustrated with her and Quan Rock during all of this because both of them are like checked out. I'm like, listen, this is not about you. This is not just about you. You've got people that you're working with. This is your job. I need you to get it together.
Right. Poor Yujin.
Yeah.
I think this is the part where I texted you and I was like, I'm in love with Hyunji. I'd like her
She's
to
so
be my
cute.
Girlfriend.
She's so precious. At Queen Entertainment, Larima and Quan Rock are trying to pick their song and Quan Rock again is fully spaced out. Larima plays the song and the first line of the song is like, you're such an idiot or something like that. And she's like, this isn't for me, this is for you. And I'm like, I love her so much. Here's editing gets real crazy here, so I'm gonna try to make sure I'm saying things in the right spot. At Shax's dorm, Hyuk and Dojin are trying to pick their song. This is a cute little scene. They're trying to pick their song. Hyuk is trying to talk Dojin into something and they're trying to like decide who's gonna do which song or what part or something. They're unclear what they're doing, so they do rock paper scissors several times. And then Dojin's like, what about stop go? And Hyuk is like, where are we gonna get stop go cards? And Dojin whips out a set and he's like, I carry them with me always. I am a real Korean. And he's like, tries to shuffle the cards and they go everywhere. It's very funny. Then we go to Ammonite's studio. Leah is with a rando. her little random dude that she was paired with, and he's singing and doing kind of a terrible job, actually. Yeah, and she's like, oh, wow, you did so good. And then it turns out he's got a schedule and he has to leave. His manager has come to pick him up and he's just got a jet. And she's like, oh, no, when are we ever going to practice?
Because apparently all of the sudden we're doing this tomorrow.
Yeah. Then we go to the coffee shop and Eugene says, this part made me so angry. I was like, you stupid idiot. Maha's like divvying up the part. She's like, okay, I'll do this part. You do this part. I'll do this part. And then we'll like blend here. And then Eugene's like, I think it'd be better if you just sang all of it. And I'm like, I thought you were over her, Eugene. I thought you were over her. So he's
and
like, you
sing
the whole
sing
thing.
That well, it should have been yeah. like, I think it would be better if I sing all of it. And you can yeah. come in with the harmonies. Maybe you can dance around me since people seem to think you're a good dancer. Inexplicably.
Yeah. So he's like, you should sing the whole thing. I'll sing the harmony. And she just agrees to it right off the bat. She's like, okay, if that's what you think is best. Because she doesn't even care because she's so disinterested in everything. Then we go to the Shack Storm. And I put, it's like no time has passed. Like mm-hmm. we're bouncing around all over mm-hmm. the place. But these people are in the same clothes, in the same places, basically in the same position. As all of these things are like happening simultaneously, but like it's so it's like no time is passing. Hyuk and Dojin are on their phones and Hyuk is like, oh wow, this Lee's rando got taken out. He was in a car accident. He got badly hurt, but we don't care about him at all.
No, it's like the crazy part is that he like leaves because he has a schedule, and it's implied that he like left Leah and got mm-hmm. in a car wreck immediately.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. I think that's it is crazy. He literally leaves, immediately gets in a car wreck,
and everyone's like, oh no, poor Leah.
Yeah.
Even though they're like, it seems like he was seriously injured.
Yeah, what's Leah going to do? It's like she could just not do the show. It's not the end of the world. But Leah overhears this, so we get him like gets the idea. At the coffee shop, Maha and Hyunji are worried about Leah. They're just sitting at the table. What's Leah going to do? Then we go to Ammonite's studio. Leah is banging her head on the desk and she's like, oh no, what am I going to do? Lee Hyun walks in and he says that he'll help. And she looks surprised. And I'm like, girl, he's been chasing you around trying to work with you. And now here is an opportunity for him to work with you. Why are you surprised that he wants to work with you? He's been literally saying it over and over again every time he
sees
you.
Maybe they shot this scene a long time ago.
Maybe. Who knows?
It was one of the first ones shot.
She was in a different timeline, apparently. So we go immediately to the show. We go to the show. Everybody performs. During everybody's performance, Kwon Rock keeps
we get
like
troublemaker.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Which is perfect.
It's perfect and wonderful and so good, and it should have won, but it doesn't because the world isn't fair.
I'm sorry, but the one that won shouldn't have won. We would have been closer with Leah.
Leah's and Lee Hyun's was really cute. I thought their little style was so cute.
It was. She has on a very adorable jean jacket.
Yes. I knew you would enjoy that. All that denim and the bright colors and everything. She looks very cute. It was very fun. Hyuk and Dojin perform Troublemaker and it's very fun and great. Mm-hmm. Eugene and Maha do their sad song. And
did you hear Jung Ho's high note during Troublemaker? It was really
beautiful.
Of course
I did. A Troublemaker is on my 80s playlist, so I listen to it all the time.
And this high note was so beautiful. I was just taken out again.
It was. There was a brief moment of joy and then we went crashing down into the plummets. Plummeting into the ocean. What a good time. Everybody performs. During the performances, Kwon Rock and Maha, I'm like, I don't care about y'all. Y'all are driving me crazy with your mopey little faces. Get it together.
Please enjoy this good time that you're having.
Yeah, I know. So they just keep like looking at each other, but Maha looks at him and he's not paying attention. He looks at Maha and she's not paying attention. And then they have like flashbacks. It's so stupid and boring. And I'm like over it. So much. Everybody performs. It's fine. Nothing important happens here. But here's where I need to cleanse my soul. Because why did you
make
such
exactly
a big deal? Yeah, I know. Why did you make such a big deal out of Minsu going on this show? Mm-hmm. Like, we have to get another sparkling member. It has to be Minsu. We're going to send him. We're going to dress him up real cute. He's got this little cocky, jaunty is the word I'm going for. He's got this little jaunty beret.
I knew you would like that hat. And I wrote, Son is wearing the stupidest hat.
He looks so precious. He, no, nothing. No song, no screen time, barely any reactions. They paired him with a rando. Mm-hmm. It's just nothing. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Just nothing.
No reason for him to be there whatsoever.
Why'd you put him here? Why'd you put him here? Mm-hmm. Son had other things to do. He was really busy during this time. He didn't have to be here. So... Mm-hmm. Why? How dare you waste his time and my time?
Seriously. Well, I'm glad they didn't make him learn a song and dance like they made Jungho. Well, that would have been an even bigger waste because they probably would have shown us like the smallest little segment of it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I would have been pissed.
I know. So anyway, so we go to the show. Show is not important. What?
I have to say that Maha and Kwon Rok. Maha and Yujin's song is bad.
It was boring.
Well, yeah, it was boring compared to everyone else's. Like, everyone mm-hmm. else has, like, a fun dance number, a mm-hmm. lot of production values. And
Maha
just, like,
couldn't dance. She couldn't dance. She couldn't do it. They couldn't get her up there with Yujin and try to make her dance. That would have been embarrassing.
I know, but it's like they have a character that they have told me over and over again is well known for her ability to learn choreo mm-hmm. and dance, and that's her mm-hmm. whole bag. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. now they've got her up there, and they don't get backup dancers. Mm-hmm. They don't get anything. Everyone Nothing. Else has like choreography all around them, bunch of dancers, mm-hmm. props, whatever. These two idiots are just standing on stage with like fog. It's like, what is happening?
So because Maha picked a terrible song and then she let Yujin have a terrible idea. And like there was nothing to do with it. Like, what are we supposed to do with this sad, sad, sad song that they're just gonna stand there and be sad? It's like
drag the whole show down. Good God.
Seriously, it was terrible.
The show should have stepped in. Like, no, y'all can't do that.
No, you can't. Mm-mm. No. So yeah. So then we cut to a bar. Yano's at a bar by himself. He gets pestered by some drunk dudes who start like headbutting him, which is very funny. Like a ram. Mm-hmm. Trying to like, this guy's like butting him with his head in his chest, and Yano is just being a sad sack. And I'm like, yeah. Listen, you've made some choices that have led you to this point.
Why would he? Why? He's got. Why isn't he watching this with his group members who are also in it? Like, why is he at the bar watching this show? Why aren't all the group members at the dorm watching it together? It's wild that he's alone at the bar. Where is the manager?
Yeah. Like, what's going
what
on?
What is happening?
What's going on? So he's just at the bar. He's getting pestered by drunk dudes. We don't see anything go down, but we're led to believe that something does go down. At the Shax's dorm, Kwon Rok walks in and he's got his little trophy, so we know that he won. I put that he did not deserve to win. His song was fine. His and Larima's song was nice. It was nice, mm-hmm. but it should have been Hyuk-in Do-jin. Theirs was
yeah,
the best.
That was so much better in every like mm-hmm. possible way. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And like, it should be noted that we do get like almost full songs. Like each performance is like a full performance. It shortens, yeah. but it's like a full thing. So we've been here for like a full like 10 minutes of just people singing. Uh-huh. It's nice, but the plot hasn't gone anywhere.
Well, it's better than the plot, so.
Yeah, it is. Like,
except
can we go back
we
to that
to listen to Maha and Yujin's song, which is
yeah. I'm sorry. Like, Yuno sounded really good. I
he
did
give sound
him that.
Really good.
He sounded really good.
And Maha sounded fine.
She sounded fine. I'm not convinced that that's her voice, but...
I wasn't either.
That's just because I hate her, so...
Yunho sounds great. Mm-hmm. But Yunho is, in my opinion, one of the best dancers in K-pop. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. And you have him just like standing on stage in like a white suit, barely singing any lines, yeah, while she sings the whole song with no charisma, no mm-hmm. stage presence. Like, at least I understand that when Jungho performs his solo songs, he also just stands there and sings. But one, mm-hmm. he has the vocals to do that, and he has the stage presence to do it. Mm-hmm. You've given
she doesn't
you've given
it.
Yunho no lines so that he can also do that. Mm-hmm. So he's like having to fade into the background to do the harmonies, mm-hmm. and he's like standing there being tall and looking beautiful, and that's like all he can do. It's crazy.
It's all terrible. Kwon Rok then has like a flashback into Maha's song. We go to the tea party door. Maha's outside being a sad sack and thinking about she's singing. And this is why I don't believe that this is her voice, because
she's singing so bad.
It's not great. I mean, I get that she's not giving full voice and it hasn't been edited and all of that, but like, she doesn't sound super great. She's singing Kwon Rok's song. Then we go to the coffee shop and Jiok's like, hey, you don't have any schedules for a few days. You did great at the singing show and you did did great on your commercial that we'll never see, but, mm-hmm. you know, everybody did great. Maha's like, I want to go home. It's like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. We go to Sparkling Storm. The manager storms in, and he is mad at Hyuno for getting into a fight because this article has come out that Idol A has gotten caught in a fight. He tells them that they are merging with I was about to say Hybe. It's not Hybe. It's energy.
It is.
It is. He's like, we're merging. And I'm like, it's not a merger. I don't think it's a merger. I think it's an acquisition. I think you've been bought. I don't think that, maybe I don't understand what mergers are because I don't understand business, but whatever. And he's like, hey, Hyuno, get it together because you could be let go. Like we've talked about replacing you. You're replaceable. So at Shax's fan, it is there.
I have never seen an idol group replace an idol. Like let him go. Mm. Sure. But replace?
Kingdom did. You remember Kingdom? They lost a member, and so they got a new member to replace him.
I did not remember that, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they did.
I don't think that's the best course.
Well, it wasn't where he got kicked out. He decided to leave, and so they needed to fill his position. So it's different from kicking out a member and then gaining a new member to replace them. I do feel like it's different somehow. Yeah. But anyway, in Shax's van, Daequan is driving Kwon-rok to somewhere. Kwon-rok, the only one who ever gets a manager, which I think is weird, but whatever. And they're listening to the radio, and Maha's just all over the radio. So first they turn it on, and Maha and Yujin's duet from the show, their cover, is on the radio? And I'm like, I don't think that's a thing. That's weird. So then he changes to a different show, and it's a different station, and it's Tea Party's, whatever their song is, Show Me. And then he changes it to a third station, and it is again Tea Party, Show Me. And I'm like, I don't believe this for a second. Mm-mm. I don't. Get out of here. So he finally just turns the radio off, and then he starts, Daequan starts singing Show Me, and then he's like, oh, sorry. So then we go to Energy, and they pull up, and Hyuno has got a baseball bat, and he's beating Energy's sign, like really struggling to take this thing down. Kwon-rok comes out and confronts him. He's like, what are you doing? And Hyuno's like, you took my spot in Shax. It's all your fault. And Kwon-rok's like, they decided the spots through auditions. What are you talking about? But Hyuno is convinced that he was originally supposed to be in Shax, and that because Kwon-rok showed up, he got kicked out. Mm-hmm. Kwon-rok says, you're just trying to place all the blame on everybody else. You need to think about your own efforts that you've put into this and stop blaming other people. You need to take responsibility for what has happened. And I'm like, okay, that is partially true. That's partially true. Like, he doesn't seem to be super into the idol life. He's just sort of phoning it in a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, there are forces kind of working against him right now. So let's take it down a notch, Kwon-rok, okay? We then learn through a little montage that Energy has bought Queen Entertainment, which is Larima's company. Larima finds out about this, and she is pissed off. So we go to Queen Entertainment. The trainee girls are all scared. Larima is watching them, lurking and being scared. I'm like, she's got such CEO energy. I hope she gets her own company. I think that she does, but I hope she gets her own company.
Yeah.
She goes and confronts her CEO, and this scene was so good. This scene really was so excellent. It was excellently written, beautifully acted. That CEO is slimy and I hate him. And she walks in and confronts him, and she's like, I built this company. You would be nothing without me. And she takes his like glass nameplate, smashes it, and she's like, oh, that wasn't really real because it broke so easily. And he's like, what is happening? You're crazy. She's like, you knew I was crazy this whole time. And she's
don't you wish ATs would just like waltz into Hello 82 like that? Wouldn't that be satisfying?
Yeah.
We built this company.
They never would because they're too kind and great, and they have a whole song about how kind and great they are. But anyway, she says, she's like, I won't break the contract. You will break the contract. And she's like, and if you try to come after me, you better bring a real lawyer, and like walks out. And I'm like, I love her so much. At Maha's home, of course, she lived in an orphanage. Of course she did. Of course her mom runs an orphanage. Of course she did. And that's all we learn, is that her mom, we just see her come home and it's an orphanage. And then we go to the Shax dorm, and Kwon-rok is watching that dumb show again.
I'm sorry, there's like 30 minutes of this orphanage, or is that all we're talking about with it? Did you just write down she's at an orphanage and you just
gone? No, because we're not there for the stay yet. This is just her introduction to at the orphanage. Then we go to the Shack Storm and Khan Rock is watching that dumb show again. He's watching Yujin and Maha perform, but the song that's playing is not Yujin and Maha's song, so I'm confused. And then so he's like thinking, he's like overcome. Then we go to the coffee house and Ji-hawk is sitting there with Maha, not Maha, she's gone, with Hyunji and Leah, and they're like worried about Maha. Khan Rock storms into the coffee shop and other people are like, is that Khan Rock? And he's like, where's Maha? So then we go back to Maha's home, and I cannot stress this enough, nothing that happens here is important at all. Nothing. There's like a whole scene where Maha's like delivering food to the elderly and Khan Rock shows up and he helps her, but she's being like, go away, I don't want you, go away. But then he starts helping her and then they get lost and they're like wandering everywhere trying to find these things. And then at one point the wagon is like rolling down the stairs.
The wagon rolling down the stairs is the best part. That was the only part I enjoyed. It was the only part that brought me any joy, because Khan Rock was very funny when he chased after it.
He is very funny, but he chases after it, he gets it, and then he's like, I did it myself. And I thought that was very funny. Khan Rock and Maha, after they're done delivering the food, Maha brings him a drink and then she's like, why are you here? What are you doing? What is this? What is happening? Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I think we should be friends. I think that we should talk on the phone. I don't think you should ignore my phone call. And she's like, I need you to get it together. Like, you gotta, we can't be doing this. She goes home, has this long chat with her mom that it's not important. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they said. They end up going to bed. Maha can't sleep because she's like worried that that Khan Rock is being an idiot and is just sitting out there waiting for her to come back. And turns out, he's out there being an idiot.
That's
waiting for her to come back.
Crazy. Like, they didn't have a plan to meet. Why is he just standing outside of his car looking at the ocean waiting for her to show up?
He has a car. He's got a car. It's not his car. It's Daquan's car. But he's got a car. He gets in the car.
He needs to buy his own fucking car.
For real.
I've said it every episode, but he cannot continue to steal his manager's car.
That's crazy. So he waits. She doesn't like go talk to him. She's just sort of lurking behind a tree and she sees that he gets into his car and drives off and she's like, oh, I guess he's leaving. Yeah, he's leaving. It's like late at night and it's cold. Turns out he doesn't really leave. He just drives to the beach and leaves the car on and goes to sleep like the biggest, dumbest, stupidest idiot. He wakes up the next morning. Of course, there's no gas in the car because he burned it all. He was just sitting there. Then he can't get the car to work. So he goes to Maha's house and he's like, hey, I need money so I can put gas in my car. And I'm like,
he doesn't have a debit card.
Do you not bring your wallet? You don't have, like, they pay with like things on their phone now. Like, happening. So she like gets her cans of gasoline and or diesel, she says it is, and she puts it in the wagon and they're dragging it out to the car so he can refill the car. And then she like tries to leave him on the beach and he gets in his car and he beats her home because he's in a car. And he's already there helping to feed the children when she gets home. And the mom's like, why are you being rude to somebody who's helping us feed breakfast to the children? And Maha's just like, what is happening? What is this? So then they end up going and they have a long chat at the beach and nothing that they say matters. All we need to know is that they do get back together and then they have the world's worst kiss.
It's
maybe second worst kiss. I don't know. It's somewhere in the ranking, but it's pretty low.
I think it's worse than their first kiss because we see it for longer and they're not dressed in costumes. So this is really them. And they like tuck their lips in.
Yeah.
Like they
it's
don't
like
have
they're
teeth.
Trying to avoid all contact.
They don't want their lips to touch. They're fine with the face. Skin touching, but their lips cannot touch. So they tuck their lips in and then they just mash their mouth above mouth skin just against each other and they just hold it there. And it's like really tight.
It's not a good time.
It's so bad. It's infuriating.
I just put that it's wild that his fans have been unable to follow him here. Like, I cannot believe that they've followed him so many other places, but they didn't follow him here. But whatever. I guess that's good because then we would have had more drama and it would have taken longer to get through all of this. So we go back to the coffee shop the next day. And I do need to point out that somewhere in all of this, I skipped a scene. And the scene is just a tiny little moment where the reporter lady is looking at a photo of Annie and who we know is Park Jin-man. It's Park Jin-man, everybody. It's so obvious.
Because we have eyes.
Yeah, we have eyes. But she's looking at this photo of this man holding his hand out to Annie. I want to point out that Annie is standing like several feet from him. Yeah. Like, she's nowhere close to him. They're not touching. They're not close. She doesn't look happy.
Embrace.
She looks scared. She's like it just, there's nothing about this. Like, I didn't see anything wrong with the picture, except that after looking at it further, oh, they're standing in front of a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. That's the, everybody thinks that there's a scandal here because there is a photo of them together outside of a hotel. Not even, like, barely even together. Like, it's mm-hmm. just, it's just so weird. Mm-hmm. So anyway, at some point this reporter has been staring at the photo and saying, oh, what are you trying to tell me? And then I think she, like, realizes something somewhere in there, but it hardly matters. But anyway, so now we're at the coffee shop.
The NOG
I know
label.
But we don't know that yet.
I do.
No, but we don't see that until we get to this scene.
I saw it in that picture when she was doing it.
Whatever. So we get to the coffee shop and the reporter is talking to Jiak and she shows him the photo and she's like, what do you see? And he's like, I don't see anything. And so then he, like, we zoom in and we see that reflected in the window. Yes,
like reflected. Perhaps it's because I've seen this drama 4 times. I saw it.
No, you don't remember anything from this drama. I don't remember them showing it to us. I just remember looking at it being like, but that's Park Jin-man. Does she realize that it's Park Jin-man? But then it, like, zooms in, like, on where there's nothing. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm supposed to be seeing here. But anyway, so we get like a really close zoom in because mm-hmm. Jiak realizes, oh, we're seeing the NOG logo from the umbrella being reflected in the window.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we needed that. I mean, I guess maybe it's extra clue. I don't know. Whatever. Hardly matters. So we're somewhere. Oh, we're at the Columbarium. Eunjo is visiting Annie. I think he's, like, reading her diary or something.
Yeah, her bucket
and
list.
He seems to be realizing something. I don't know. It hardly matters.
I thought he was just marking off things. Like, I thought she had a bucket list, and that's what he's been doing in the last 3 years, and he's, like, finished her bucket list. He did all of her bucket list, and so he's done with it. And now his season for living is over. I don't know.
Okay. So anyway, that tracks. So back at Energy, we find out that Larima has left Queen because, of course, she has. The CEO says, okay, well, we need to release the news of Shaq's re-signing their contracts after the MML concert, even though they haven't. That we mm-hmm. know of, but he's mm-hmm. just saying, hey, we're going to release that. He's release it prettily like that. Mm-hmm. And then we see the secretary come out of the door and he's being very devious. He's got a devious face on his face.
And they start playing that Thriller music again.
Right. We go back to the beach and this is where they kiss. That's not, it hardly matters. Then we go to the garage where Kwon Rock has returned Daekwon's car. Daekwon is, like, obsessing over the car. And Kwon Rock says that he wants to date Maha publicly.
Mm-hmm.
We immediately cut to inside Shax's dorm where all of the Shax members are reacting to this. Like, what mm-hmm. do you mean? Daekwon is losing his mind. He's like, oh yeah, sure, let's just tell everybody. Why don't we just tell everybody? It'll be fine. And then we see Tea Party react and they have the same reaction. They're like, what are you talking about? Outside, Kwon Rock and Jae-woo are having a conversation. Jae-woo is mad that Kwon Rock didn't tell him, but I'm like, okay, Jae-woo, you, like, outed Eunjo last time. Uh-huh. So I don't know that you get to be like, why didn't you tell me? Because, like, you know. This is where I realize that Kwon Rock had no idea, like, had not put together the Eunjo thing. Like, he knew that they were dating because we find that out in the epilogue, but he seems mm-hmm. to be so dense about every other part of this story.
Yeah.
Because Jae-woo is like, I don't want to lose you, like, we lost Eunjo. He's like, what does this have to do with Eunjo? And I'm like, what do you mean, what does it have to do, like, with Eunjo? It's the same situation. You're dating somebody, and that's the reason why he left, was because he was dating somebody and it ended badly. Like, what are you talking about? And Jae-woo says, I will do anything to keep this group together. So I'm
ominous.
Yeah, ominously. At Tea Party's dorm, they're sitting around their little table and Leah's like, we need a solution. So this takes us to, I like this scene. I think it's a lot of fun, but also Maha's not in it. So I would, wouldn't I? But we go to Ammonite's studio and mm-hmm. Lee Hyun, Hyuk, Dojin, Larima, Ammonite, Leah, and Hyunji are all gathered at the studio.
Yeah.
And Larima's like, I'm just here for my song. Like,
I'd like
why
to...
am I here?
Right.
Yeah. But they're like, Leah's like, okay, we have to figure out how Kwon Rock and Maha can date in secret and they won't tell everybody, because if they tell everybody, they're going to ruin both of our groups. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to come up with a plan. Like, what do we do? They're like, okay, we're all agreed that we all know, nobody else knows. Like, we're in on it, nobody else is in on it. So it's a very funny exchange, because, like, Lee Hyun is like, I don't care. Like, I don't want to be part of this. And Hyuk is being very straightforward. Yeah. And so they finally decide that Kwon-rok and Ma-ha will date at Tea Party's dorm. Like, that's the safest place for them to meet up. And it's very funny that Ammonite is here because he doesn't say anything. He's just like chilling, watching things unfold. But I like him, so he can be here.
I just, why can't they meet up where they've all met up here? Why can't they go to Ammonite's studio?
I don't know. So at Tea Party's dorm, Kwon-rok comes over. It's very awkward because they're just sort of like slowly walking around and not really doing anything. And Leah and like Hyunji are like
chaperones. Why don't Leah and Hyunji leave?
I know.
It's weird.
I think that they're supposed to be there because I think that they want them to have the chaperones. Like, they're not trying to let them hook up. They're just wanting them to, like, date, just be together. I think that's what they're trying to tell us. Kwon-rok sees the photo of Annie. Mm-hmm. So they have a photo of Omega 3 before Ma-ha. And Kwon-rok sees the photo. He's like, wow, she looks so familiar. And that's when I'm like, wait a second. He didn't know who Annie was? Like, he didn't know about that? I thought he knew about that. And then Ma-ha brings out a box of memories, this dumb box of memories. And she's got this photo of a star is born, which was Kwon-rok's dance crew before he became famous. It's signed by everybody except for him. And she's like, I want you to sign this. And he's like, okay, cool. But then he looks in her box of memories and he sees the phone that was Annie's that Ma-ha is keeping for some reason. And he puts it all together, like does some really crazy mathematics in his head. And he puts it together that Eunjo and Annie were dating and that they had the and that that was why Eunjo had left and something went down with that. And it's like it plays this really dramatic music.
Yeah. That editing like, is my passion.
Yeah. And then in the epilogue, we see that Kwon-rok had seen Eunjo and Annie like saying goodbye outside of the building. And that's that he confronts Eunjo about it. And that's it. Like, that's it. That's it. Yeah. That's the end. And I'm like,
they do say that they've been dating for 3,000 days secretly. And that is a long time. Yeah. That's a lot of days.
It makes no sense to me. Anyway, Biggest Loser. Who's our Biggest Loser?
What if I think it's Kwon-rok?
He is a loser.
I like that he knew Eunjo had a girlfriend. I mean, is he just like so selfish? Is that what I'm supposed to take from him not like putting all of this together? He's just like so selfish that he and self-centered that he couldn't put anything together.
I don't know. And
if he steals Daquan's car one more time, I cannot forgive him. This is crazy. He makes more money than Daquan almost assuredly. So I'm gonna need him to stop stealing Daquan's car and buy his own.
I don't understand why, because it doesn't change the plot at all if he has his own car. Nothing has changed.
And it makes a lot of things a lot easier because we don't have to have like scenes of Daquan freaking out every time. Like, that's not a fun running gag. Again, is this show a comedy with running gags or is it a drama that's telling a story? Because if it's a drama that's telling the story, these like one-off gags, like they're taking time from a plot that like you don't have the time for that. Like, we need to cut that fat out of the show because like the editing is crazy. It can't tell a coherent story, and that's part of the reason, because they jump around and give us all these details that just don't matter.
And they also,
I feel like I got really worked up there.
But it also, the passing of time is really, really difficult to follow. Like, that whole sequence where that random idol got in the car accident, but it's happening like immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it happens and then is reported all within the time it took for like Hyuk and Dojin to decide what song they wanted to do and be done with that part. And now they're just looking on their phones. Like, they haven't even moved from the sofa. They didn't even like get up and go get a drink or anything. It's all like, it's just crazy.
I mean, it like it's implied that he walked out of that studio and was immediately hit by a car.
And then it was like, immediately reported on and then immediately posted everywhere. And everybody saw it immediately. Like, that's what you're telling me. And then Lee Hyun finds out about it and like books it over to the studio immediately. So
he probably passed the wreck on the way.
Like, he probably did and didn't even care, because nobody cares about the kid that was hurt. We're very concerned about Leah. My biggest loser, I have so many from these episodes.
You know who's the biggest loser? That low ponytail with the curly bangs.
Stylist. How dare she do any of this? Because she is in charge of that photo shoot.
Wow.
And dresses them up. Like, I feel like since she gave them the cute outfits for walking into their very first music show, every other thing that she's done has been a dud. Everything's been terrible. Hyunji looks horrible all the time. There was that moment where she was in, like, the black leather and she and Eugene, she and Eugene had, like, their black leather looks. Mm-hmm. That was great. She's been a failure ever since then, every single time, consistently.
She's so bad.
Yeah, she really is. And that's upsetting to me because I do like her as a character. Yeah. But, like, how are you telling me that this woman also styles Shax, who looks good consistently? What is that about?
And why is she styling Shax and not Sparkling if Eugene is her little muse?
I mean, maybe she does. Maybe she does style them. I mean, stylists work with lots of groups. So
I suppose.
I know that our stylist also works with, like, INI, who is, like, a Japanese group. But, like, yeah, she posts about them all the time, just like she posts about ETs all the time. So that's the only reason I know. But anyway, I would also like to nominate as Biggest Loser the person who decided that Minsu needed to attend this show but not give him anything to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know who that is. I don't know who I'm blaming, but I am blaming them, and I'm very upset with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very upsetting. Also, Biggest Loser, that stupid duet that Maha and Eugene sing. I hated it so much. I hated everything about it. Biggest Winner, that denim jacket that Leo wears.
MVPs, yes.
Love that denim jacket.
Was good. I thought that whole styling was really fun.
It was really fun. Mm-hmm. I can't say that they did a great job on the stage.
I had
some complaints about the stage, but the styling, great.
You gotta give it to Larima. You gotta give it to Larima. And specifically for standing up against her CEO, knowing her worth, and being like, no. No, we're not doing this. And she's not even really doing it for herself. She's doing it because she's scared for her trainees, because they're worried that they are going to get kicked out. And she talks about how talent, you're treating the talent as money now. Like, how dare you? Mm-hmm. So I love her. I think she's so great.
Mm-hmm. I would toss Hyunji up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hyunji has several good moments. I love when she got mad at Maha. I was upset when she also apologized to Eugene. I was like, no, no, no. You didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything wrong. You take that back.
You don't apologize. Mm-hmm. So that's going to keep her from being the MVP. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's up there.
Yeah.
Troublemaker. Really elevating the show higher than it. Like, that is a real high moment for the show. Like,
it's a legitimately good performance. And not just Jung-o, but Park Yuri does a really great job with it, too. So, like, the whole thing is really fun.
Obviously, they're lip singing in this show. Like, that's not a surprise. Both Hyuk and Dojin look... like, they look like they're doing a good job lip singing, which is not true for a lot of people. So, just... but Larima.
Yeah, Larima, for sure. Just being everywhere. Everywhere. She just is she just literally is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Except at that beach. It would have been so funny if she had just been casually walking on the beach and then been like, can y'all please get it together?
She could have saved that awful scene.
She could have. Thank you for joining us for today's chat. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast.
You can find us on Blue Sky at Holochat Podcast or read more from our blog at ontini.com.
If you love books, you can also follow along with our spinoff podcast, Readers of the Lost Art.
We'll see you next time. Be the light.